Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It's Wednesday, so that means that Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds-Grendel and Lanark District Health Unit, is here with us. Dr. Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
And Jen Adams is also with us. She's a public health nurse. Jennifer, it's good to have you back on Lake 88.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
Well, we've talked about substance use prevention strategies. The last one we did, Dr. Lee, we were talking about Planet Youth, Lanark County, which really puts youth substance users and abusers in the crosshairs. Actually, the people who aren't even using it, it's a prevention program to try to get them to stop before they start. But you wanted to talk about you wanted to cast a wider net, really, and talk about the stigma and a project that is aimed at decreasing community stigma around people who use substances. So let's go right to basics, start from the beginning. Maybe you can tell us why a project like this is so important. And do you have a name for the project?
Yeah. So, really thinking about the work of the health unit and in public health, it's across the spectrum of, like you said, Planet Youth and youth and preventing drug use, and all the way to people who use drugs, which is our focus today, and what it looks like to reduce the harms of using drugs, and also get people to a place where they're receiving services that suit them and are helpful to them. And so that's really this project. So it is the Substance Use and Addictions Prevention Project. It's a grant from the federal government that we received that has been playing out for a few years now. The project is really important because reducing stigma among people who use drugs is such a key part of accessing health services and other social services for people who fall into this group. And improving the navigation of services as well is really important. I think many of us have had experiences where it's sometimes not intuitive or obvious what you're supposed to do with the health services that you're supposed to get. And, you know, who do you call? Where do you go? Who do you speak to? All of that. Sometimes it can be a lot. And so supporting the navigation of these services is really helpful as well. And really, we know that services for people who use these substances is less frequently accessed when there is fear of stigma or discrimination. And I think we can all relate with that. If we feel like we're being judged or feel negatively about an interaction, certainly I'm less likely to go seek that out, even if it's for the sake of my best health, right? And so that stigma and discrimination, how people feel when they try to access services, can be a key part of getting those services and improving their health.
It's really interesting too, because, you know, we talk about the stigma that goes along with this. And in many cases, people just think, oh, they're a drug user. You know, oh, they're just using drugs. They just want to get high and so on and so forth. I forget who it was who said this, but they said, you know, picture a nail biter, someone who chronically bites their nails. If you go and you ask them if they want to keep biting their nails, odds are they're going to say no. And that's the way it is for many drug users who want to quit, who want to get clean. They just find it to be so difficult to do. And I think that that is the part that people don't really recognize. Instead of just saying, oh, they're just a drug user, Dr. Lee, they really should be thinking, well, maybe this person does want to get help. And I guess that would be what part of what holds people back.
Yeah. And I think there's two things to talk about. One is, we know that substances that are being used and abused like this are addictive by their very nature, right? That's why they're being used. And actually, part of the clinical definition for addiction is that people are using these substances even though it's harming them, even though they don't They recognize that there are parts of their life that are negatively affected, and they don't want to continue. But the strength of these neurotransmitters during addiction is so difficult to overcome is a difficult word to use, but to manage maybe. But then as well, that people have strengths and are interested in improving their health. And also there are strengths to recognize in people who are still using, but using in a way that reduces their risk. So we talk about harm reduction here at the Health Unit and among other service providers. And I think those are all important elements of the spectrum of people who are using drugs and who are struggling with these addictions day to day.
Now, a few years ago, the Health Unit received a grant for the project. Jennifer, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, in 2020, we were really fortunate to be notified that we were recipients of a Health Canada Substance Use and Addictions Program grant. The grant itself was for over 3 years and had some funding attached to it as well. Unfortunately, the pandemic hit and was declared a month after we had received this grant, but we were really fortunate as one of the few across the country that were able to continue the work of our grant, because this grant is one that is not accessed by very many and isn't awarded to very many agencies across the country. And we were really fortunate, and we were one of the few that were able to actually complete our grant we were a little late on getting it completed within the time frame, but we did really well to get it pretty well completed. The grant itself was composed of two components. So we hired two community support navigators that had lived or living experience to work with the population of people who use substances to help them, as Dr. Lee said, to navigate the system, because we know it's so complicated. It's complicated for us to do it, let alone if we're struggling with substance use. And there's a lot of barriers that we know exist that make it really challenging. So we were able to hire two peer support workers to help do that work for us and for the people. And the other piece was the biggest component was doing a research study on what is the experience of people who use substances in our community accessing the services within Leeds and Grenville and Lanark. But we also wanted to get the perspective of the frontline workers who are trying to provide and support people who use substances. And we were really keen to have a better understanding of what that experience is like on trying to serve this population that are quite vulnerable and marginalized. And we know from other research that's been done that there is that fear of stigma and judgment. And so we wanted to know what that experience was like from both perspectives.
And so the results are now in, and what can you tell us? What have we learned from them?
Yeah, so we spent an entire year doing interviews with people who use substances in our community, as well as family and friends. So that was one component of the project. And then we did 6 focus groups with communities, agencies, and the frontline workers. So we were able to collect 2 sort of streams of data from those interviews and focus groups. And what we definitely heard some really good and exciting positive outcomes and positive things that were happening. So things like agencies that were using non-judgmental approaches that were welcoming, come as you are, we will not pass any judgment on, you know, your current situation, your historical situation, all that kind of stuff. Making an effort, a real effort to make people ensure that people who use substances felt comfortable and safe within the environments where they were receiving services. One of the other things was the provision of harm reduction supplies was a comforting thing for people who use substances, and getting medical help when needed and in a variety of different settings. I think one of the biggest themes that came out for me was the importance of connection. And really it was the connection with the workers that made the difference. It was feeling that they were being the empathy, the sympathy, the understanding, the acceptance, that connection was huge. We certainly saw some unfortunate negative experiences come out pretty loud and clear in the research that we did with people who use substances. A couple of the themes, the long wait lists that we know exists to access mental health and addiction services was certainly a very challenging piece for the folks. The other piece that came out was a lot of negative experiences when people were trying to access emergency services through our our local hospitals. And that was pretty evident that there were certainly some negative experiences there. One of the other things that I think came out pretty loud and clear was the want and the desire to have withdrawal management services in our community so they didn't have to go into Ottawa or Kingston to access those services. Some of the overall feedback for improvements that we heard from people were things like having just more access to services in general, a broader variety of services, more mental health, more addiction services, with consistent service providers. That was a theme that definitely came out, which I thought was quite interesting. Housing and income support, less judgmental hospital services was certainly a theme that was pretty loud in our research. An increased access to harm reduction services and approaches, less judgment, less bias, those kinds of things.
Really interesting there. And Dr. Lee, just before I ask Jennifer the next question here, maybe just talk a little bit about the workers. There's a lot of, I don't know if disappointment is the right word in this, but when you're dealing with people who want to overcome addiction, and then you see them try and then in some cases fail and then they come back, that can be very difficult on some people who are trying to help provide, but it comes with the job.
Yeah, Bob, that's so astute. I remember before being in public health, I did clinical medicine as well. And so a lot of this conversation, I mean, you know, with addictions, there's such strong parallels physiologically with other addictions. And oftentimes what's really common for us is people who smoke, right? And people who drink alcohol. And it's a very similar feeling as a person who's supporting and providing clinical services for people who are trying to quit an addiction. Is it's really a process, it's a give and take. And just as with smoking, it takes a number of attempts for people to quit. You know, and there's always that spectrum of, you know, are you thinking about quitting? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're thinking about quitting, but you don't know how. All of these things happen for other substances and other addictions as well. And so there's always that working alongside people to say, you know, where are you on that spectrum currently? And it can change from day to day. It can be frustrating because you really do want the best for the people that you're supporting. But as well, it's important to think about, it can be frustrating for the people who are using the substances. And on the one hand, you know, feeling as though they've disappointed themselves, or on the other hand, feeling as though they are going to a place that's supposed to give them support, but what they're hitting is barriers or a feeling of not being respected. And those are things that are really important to recognize, I think, as a point of self-reflection for people who provide services. And I certainly have that experience, but also for us generally as a community. I think really it's important to think of ourselves as a piece of that community, a piece of that support for people, maybe indirectly, but in the way that we think of the most vulnerable people in our communities, the way that we advocate for, you know, what may be uncomfortable for us in in seeing, you know, people talk about litter or feeling unsafe going to certain areas. But then how can we as a community work with each other in every part of everyone who is part of our communities, right? So it may be a little bit uncomfortable and we may need to be a little bit patient and it may be a little bit frustrating, but I think the nature of working through such a difficult problem as this is that we need to be able to have a little bit of patience and generosity with each other.
The word uncomfortable, I think, is perfect. I think that describes it, 100%. So Jen, what is the next step for the project as you move forward?
I can I offer one observation again from the research that we came through, I think, that we didn't talk about earlier, that I think goes along with what we just spoke about, the frustration of frontline workers. But I think it comes down to defining what success is, right? And a healthcare, we often tend to be, it's either one or the other, right? And I think within addictions work, it's either you're using or you're not using. And that's how we define success, right? And I think that that's where a lot of that frustration from healthcare workers comes from, is that we as healthcare providers need to redefine what success looks like. And it's more of what is the client identifying as going to be successful, right? And it might be reduction of use or being able to work with family and children services to get supervision of their children back and those kinds of things. And the be all and end all may not necessarily be quitting entirely. And so I think that's a lot of that frustration comes from is we try to define what success for people is, and it should actually be the reverse of that. So I think for the next steps, and I think that kind of leads in nicely to this, is we've taken all this research that we've done, and we have now put together a workshop that we're going to be offering to our community agencies around how do we address stigma and discrimination and those challenges and barriers in dealing with this population, and providing some presentations and workshops, some self-reflection activities, some organizational assessment tools that organizations can then take back to their organization and start the conversation of what are we doing as agencies to reduce the stigma and discrimination that people who use substances are experiencing? And how do we make practice changes, maybe organizational changes, maybe some policy changes, and really taking an in-depth look at some of our own internal practices within agencies that are creating barriers and creating challenges that people have identified to us as one of those things that's preventing them from maybe reaching out for help, or maybe they're reaching out, but we're not able to maintain that connection and service. And so how do we do better as agencies to ensure that we're meeting the needs of this population, I think is our next step. So we will be offering those workshops in the next few weeks for our community agencies in Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark.
All right. I love that it's working together. That is a theme that we often hear with the health unit, and you get the organizations that are stakeholders together, getting them involved, and everybody's on the same page. And that way too, each gets to offer their individual strength to the collective. I think it's just fantastic. Dr. Lee, how can the health unit learn from the results within the organization?
Yeah, so it's really exciting that we'll be doing our own internal reflection, the way that Jen was just talking about, where we're asking others to do that at the same time. We as a service provider are also looking at the services that we provide, doing some training for our own staff around stigma and discrimination in some workshops, and really to make some plans, do some thinking, do some working with partners on what to take away, what we've learned from this 3-year grant experience into the coming times.
All right. Well, this is a conversation that we will pause for now, because I have a feeling that we'll be back together, the three of us, talking about this in the near future. Jenny Vandermeer, always a pleasure. Sorry, Jen Adams, my mistake. So nice to have you here. It's a pleasure to have Jen Vandermeer here too, just so we're clear. But yes, Jennifer Adams, public health nurse. Thank you so much for being here today. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Stewart, just kidding. Dr. Lee, Dr. Lee, as always, a pleasure to speak with you each and every week. We're so very happy that the health unit is so generous with your time and with the time of everybody else like Jen.
Yeah. And it's such a privilege to be here. I really enjoy this.
Well, we'll do it again next week. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. You can get more information on all of the wonderful programs offered by the Health Unit at healthunit.org. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.